stones move for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and his people in the flame. Now the gospel truth of old shall not leave, shall not fade. Christ bled it in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Morning, church. Pastor Paul here. I guess it's not necessarily morning, since you're going to be watching this whenever you please at home, but whenever you're tuning in, I want you to know that we at Grace Church miss you guys, and we hope you're doing well, and we're praying for you, and if there's anything we could do, don't hesitate to give us a call, leave us a voicemail, get in touch with us so we can be praying for and blessing you. One of the things that I miss most about gathering as a church is the time that we get to spend together. In particular, I would be coming up after our meet and greet time. The meet and greet time is just a time for you to say hello to people around you, give a hug, a handshake, to be an encouragement to someone in our congregation, maybe catch up with a friend that you haven't seen in a while. A time just to see the joy in others, maybe to pray for someone, to be prayed for. I just miss that time with you guys. I miss that time, you know, just celebrating what happened that week. And I know some of you, you introverts, are not missing that at all. You're like, hey, meet and greet was like the reason I struggle to come to church on a Sunday. But it's part of a Sunday that I, in particular, miss. And I want to encourage you to do this. I don't know why I miss it. I think I miss it because it's different doing it a different way. But I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to, at some point today, reach out and have your own little meet and greet over the phone. Call someone, encourage them, pray for them, love on them. Just whatever that meet and greet time would have been used for, use it. Send out a text. Hey, glad to see you. Hope you're doing well. How are you doing? And don't miss that time. Just because we're not meeting in the church doesn't mean we're not called to be the church through this time. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 96. We're going to be reading out of Psalm 96 today. And while you guys are opening there, I want to just encourage you to do something. I want you to look at your life and ask yourself this question. What is new in my life? What is new in your life? New today, new this month, new because of this pandemic. What is new in your life? Maybe it's your job, your work. Maybe during this time you're not working. And so that's a change. You're at home. You're with your family. You're maybe isolated and by yourself. So that's something new. Maybe you are working and you're working more hours than you've ever worked and in situations you've never been in before. And so that's new for you. Maybe your schedule is different. I know my schedule has changed a lot. So your schedule, maybe you're waking up later or earlier, maybe you're changing how you work or what you do during the day. And so maybe that's new for you there. Maybe your time around people is new. You know, we just talked about meet and greet. Maybe before you were around people a lot and now you're not around people hardly at all. Maybe before it was just the opposite. You were like never around people and now you're around people a lot because of how your job changed or how something changed in your life. Maybe your focus, maybe you're more stressed, distracted because of news or social media or something going on. That's new. Maybe your diet and exercise is new. I know mine is because I'm not running around town doing stuff. I'm more at home doing things now. Your children's energy level. For those of you who have kids, maybe that's new. I know my kids, we like the sunny days here in the county because that means we get to go outside and run around. We're not cooped up in the house. So that's new for us. Medical care is different because now if you're sick or if you need help, it's mostly over the phone or through video or email that you're communicating with your doctors because of timidity to go and actually see a doctor in person. Maybe how you dress has changed. You're wearing a mask, you're wearing gloves, you're wearing different clothes, maybe you're in your pajamas all day. So that's something new, something different. And so I just want you to consider in your life what is new. And let's read from Psalm 96 and see what the Lord would have for us today. Let's pray before we do that. God, we come before you today with many new things in our lives. And God, it's my prayer that through your word that we would be blessed, we would be encouraged, we would be challenged to consider that we might need to live differently. Lord, it's my prayer that as each and every one of us participate in this service in a different way, that you'd be there with each individual as they listen, as they watch, that you would challenge them, comfort them, be with them through these times. We pray this in your name. Amen. So Psalm 96, and I'll interject here with a little bit of words and translation, so just process that with me. It says this, Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new, or it's translated fresh, song, a new or fresh song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and great to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are to be before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe, or insert the word provide. Provide to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Provide to the Lord, or ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the people with equality, or sorry, with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. What a strong passage. What a call to do something. And so I really have three ways I want us to break down and observe that passage today. The first is this idea of new. I asked you in your life, what is new? And as you've considered that, you probably noticed that most of what's new is a challenge. Most of what's new is a challenge. And it says one of the first verse of 96 is sing unto the Lord a new, a fresh song. And I want to ask you, what genre is the song that your life is singing right now? I know for many, it's probably more of a blues song or an emotional song or a slow song. And that's all right. Like, don't stay there. I know for seasons, our songs are different. But what genre is your life song singing right now? Oh, it's a singing to the Lord a new song. Most of you can acknowledge that as a follower of Christ, we are supposed to worship. We are supposed to praise God for who he is. But not every life circumstance is that an easy calling. And not every life circumstance is that something easy to do. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's a burden. Sometimes it's something that's more difficult to actually live out. And I was thinking of the Lake County Howl. For those of you guys who don't know what it is, it's at 8 p.m. every night. you're supposed to essentially go outside of your house and start howling. And I'm not sure exactly what howling does, if it releases some endorphins or gets rid of stress, or if it's just healing, hearing the other howls. The people in the community gives you a sense of unity, gives you a sense of being together in this challenge. But the howl somehow does something. It's new, it's fun, it's a challenge. And I think each community has said, I want to have the loudest howl. So they've gone around and recorded it, and it's been online, and people are trying to figure out which area of Lake County has the loudest howl. So good luck to you there. It's something we didn't do before the shelter in place. It's something inspired by crisis to create oneness. And our worship of God, no matter what inspires it, is supposed to bring glory to His name. I love specifically the word new, or translated fresh, in this passage, because all of us right now have a new perspective, a new challenge, you know, a new job, a new trial. And the word new helps us understand that in the midst of all this other newness, that our praise needs to become new and fresh as well. And so things are new and different, but our call to praise God has not changed. Our call to bring glory to His name has not changed. And so I want to challenge you, you know, how are you worshiping God? How are you praising God in the newness of what you're doing? What fresh worship, what fresh praise are you bringing to Him today? Also, a challenge from this passage is, don't let your praise become dull or usual or normal. To sing a new song, a fresh song. And so maybe your life, you've been singing the same song the same way, and it doesn't have meaning anymore. It's just words that are coming out of your mouth, much like a prayer that you prayed as a kid before you went to bed. Pray something new. Praise something new to God during this season. Because of what we celebrated last week was our Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter. Because of what we celebrated last week, we've learned that there's so much of a reason to praise God. There's so much He's done for us. We are so unworthy of being His children, but because He has sacrificed so much for us, He is so worthy of our praise. So praise Him. Just as the challenges of each day are new, so are the Lord's mercies. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Maybe you're confused right now. You're confused about, you know, what is my new song? What is the new thing I should be singing or praising with my life? How do I do that? Start with that verse from Lamentations. Lamentations 3:23. It's 3:22 and 23. It's a simple, maybe that's your new song. Maybe that's where you start. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Maybe your heart has been singing a song that's contrary to that in the midst of all the craziness going on. I want to encourage you, sing that new song. Start with this passage. It has some great ideas of how we could be praising God and some great promises that we can cling to in these times. So what is your new fresh song to God? Next thing I want us to look at is, what is unchanged about God is, sorry, let me start that again. What is unchanged about God is a constant in need of proclamation. You see, God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And so what's unchanged about Him is something we're celebrating. So in this time, God hasn't changed His mind about you. He hasn't changed the things that He's doing. And so I want you to just pause the video right after I explain what I want you to do. Just pause the video, and I want you to look at Psalm 96, and I want you to say, what is unchanged about God, and what is the writer of this song telling us to praise? What are we supposed to praise? So pause the radio right now, read Psalm 96 as just by yourself or as a family. Read it and say, well, what is unchanged about God? What were they praising about God back then, and are we still praising those things right now? hopefully you took some time as a family to look through that, to look at those promises. Let me read through just a couple that I found when I was looking at this, is that God is still good. God is still worthy. God is still strong. God is still righteous. God is still saving. God is still giving. God is still creator. God is still majestic. God is still beautiful. God is still our Father. God is still revered. God is still King. God is still our righteous judge. God is still faithful. And God is still coming. Powerful truths in one passage, which was meant to be a song or a declaration to the Lord, is praise and to bring praise and glory to his name. We read here in the same passage, our job is to proclaim to others these truths, to tell of how good God is, to provide God or ascribe to him worship, to provide him with our strength, and to provide him with glory. That is our job. That is what we are called to do. And it doesn't say do that just when life is good. It says do that, period. The passage here essentially is telling us that we have a job, and our job is to bring praise and glory to the name of God. How are you going to do that? What new song are you going to sing? Use some of what we just described and read about as a way to bring praise and glory to his name. Lastly, third point, bringing it home here. What can compare to our God, or who can compare to our God? All other gods are idols. Nothing that you turn to other than God is going to offer you what your soul needs. Nothing that you turn to is going to offer to you what your soul needs other than the Lord. I look at all the statistics about everything that's going on, everything that people are buying and doing during these times. Alcohol sales are up almost 50%. Cleaners, sanitizers, wipes, and all other products are virtually inaccessible because that's what people are turning to as something to save them, to help them during this time. And that makes sense. Things like masks and wipes, of course you want to be clean, but are you turning to that and making that thing your God? You need to think about these things. During my trip to Israel, we got to see a lot of things. One of the things I wanted to share with you guys today is we got to see kind of the remnants or the remains of a wall called the Broad Wall. And why it was unique that we were looking at this wall and why they took the time to preserve it and dig it up and really look at it is because of its size. The Broad Wall was a wall that was built with intent. It was on the side of the city that was most vulnerable to attack. It was in the part that most likely the enemy was going to be coming from that direction to come take over Jerusalem. And so the king at the time had built that wall way thicker than it needed to be. Most walls during that time were 10 feet thick, 10 feet deep. And this wall, for some reason, was built 23 feet deep. And so if you're someone trying to come in and conquer the city, you got to get through 23 feet of rock before you could even get into the city at this one point. And you would think, well, that seems like a good strategy. Why wouldn't you build up the wall there? There really is no reason why you wouldn't, other than the fact that, like, hey, it takes time and energy and effort to put that into building that wall. But you see, what had happened was the Israelites were small. They were weak for much of their time in the city. We see that they were only really victorious because God multiplied their efforts. They were only really had victory when they were being obedient to what God was calling them to do. And so when he called them into the land, he gave them victory over the people who were currently living there. When enemies who came against them and they were being faithful to God, he said, no, you're not going to take over my people. But it was when the heart of the person or leadership or really an entire nation said, we don't need God anymore. So they started building thicker walls. And so it was almost as if God was saying, hey, you don't need thicker walls when you have me multiplying your efforts, when you have me fighting for you. And so what would happen is the city would create enemies. like it had before and would be taken over through the very wall that they had made the thickest. This passage, when it says that no other god can compare, every other god, small g, is an idol. It's fake. It's worthless compared to me, big G, the God of the earth. And so I want to just leave you kind of with this thought. A, sing unto the Lord afresh a new song. Find something to sing to him during this season that praises and brings glory to name his name. Two, reflect on the fact that God is unchanged and that his promises from way back when still reign true today in your life, and praise him for those things. Praise him through those things. And then lastly, understand that there's nothing this earth can provide that God can't provide for you. There's no toilet paper, no news station, no family member, no medical doctor, no Netflix series, no wall that can be built 3 to 4 times thicker than normal that can provide you with what your soul needs. Only God is in the business of caring for souls. Let me pray for you guys as we close this session. God, thank you for being everything that we need. God, forgive us for putting other things in your place. Forgive us for putting other things higher than you, God. May we be diligent in building walls to protect us, but Lord, let us even more so be diligent in praising and bringing glory to your name, keeping you as number one. Lord, give our heart a new song. Give us a song to sing to you that is worthy of singing. Remind us of how great you are. God, you are good to us. You love us. You care for us. God, give us the people in our lives to help build up that truth. And us, we praise you and we thank you in your name. Amen. Have a good morning, y'all.